Spring into deals for seasonal savings. Shop select 1-pint annuals for just $1. Plus, get a free additional Cobalt 40-volt 2-amp-hour battery when you buy select Cobalt 40-volt trimmer and blower combo kit. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid to 5/6. Annuals offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on East 17th Avenue in Hutchinson.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 27th day of April, 2026. And tonight, well, is he here yet? Hello?
Who's that?
Joe, Pastor Joe.
He's here.
Okay, there you go. I didn't hear.
Sure.
I didn't hear you. Are you there, Joe?
Sure am. Ready to go to work.
All right, there you go. Pastor Joe Larson, the Missouri parson, and tonight, once again, he has won the right to, he beat out the competition to produce this program. And that's Josh Booth. Hey, Josh.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, we'll find out in a minute, I guess. All righty.
I was waiting for you to intro, Pastor Joe.
Oh, okay. Let's get started tonight. We got a lot to talk about tonight, a whole lot. And so the title of the message was, I Will Never, Never Leave Thee. I Will Never, Never Leave Thee. And we're going to start tonight in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. You ready to go, Joe?
Sure am. Hebrews 13, and we start with verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So you know, that we may, go ahead and stop there.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Read the next verse.
So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
All right, very good. Let your conversation, that word conversation, you know, in the English is translated into English, different meanings in the Hebrew and the Greek, and here, you know, in this, it's the same word means manner of life. Let your manner of life be without covetousness. Not talking, when we use the word conversation, is, you know, we'll be having that, you know, back and forth, dialogue back and forth. But here, it refers to having a manner of life. In other places, actually, talks about your residence, where you live, okay? And here,
well, isn't it also your worldview?
Yeah.
Your manner of life really is controlled and guided by your worldview. You and I have a Christian conservative constitutional worldview. And those three words in our worldview should tell somebody almost everything about us that's important.
Absolutely. But here, the author, and I believe the author of the book of Hebrews was Paul. I believe the Pauline signature is all over this book. But here, for a lot of reasons, but when he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he's actually quoting Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, but with one difference. There he says, I will never, never leave thee. And so he uses it twice there. But it's an interesting thing because there's only... See, Joe, you and I cannot... We can say that, but we can never guarantee it. The only one that can guarantee that was the Lord himself. Remember Peter said, I would die, I would defend, I would never, ever deny you. I would never deny you, right? Do you think he meant it when he said it?
I think he, at the time, believed it.
And so, but we really don't, I mean, we may have the best meanings. I mean, for example, you know, you could tell your, you know, you could tell your wife, I'll be home in 30 minutes, and then what happens? You run off the road, you get stuck, and 2 hours later, you're still there. You're not home, right? You meant to be home.
Right.
And you know, you had might be times where, you know, something very serious. It might be a very serious situation where you've gone for help, and you may have your comrades back there waiting on you to return, and something comes up and you can't. And so... The only one that can absolutely positively say this, and without doubt, can fulfill that is the Lord himself. He's the only one that's totally with unlimited power, huh?
Amen to that. But there's also another point there. Peter also hadn't had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit yet, and he was pretty much on his own, and all of a sudden when, you know, faced with the possibility that he would be put to death too, he didn't have anything to give him the courage he needed. That courage later comes in Scripture when he stands up and, you know, confesses Christ, and knowing that this time he may be put to death, he does it boldly to the Sanhedrin. And it's interesting because you are a different, a new creature, a new creation when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't be perfect, but you do have more power, more strength, more courage when you have the Holy Spirit.
Well, that brings you to the next verse. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is our helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Can man do anything unto us that the Lord cannot undo?
No, well, man could put us to death, but Christ can resurrect. Well, he will be taken to heaven and at some point resurrected spiritually and physically at the time of the rapture. So anything man can do can be undone, yes.
Okay. I want to take you, because the theme of this... this message here, I want to take you over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and read just one verse. And
all right.
Go ahead, verse 19.
They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would, no doubt, have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us.
As I go through this week, this Bible study, I'm going to show you several applications of that in Scripture here. And so, but first I'm going to do some commentary, and it had to do with recently, just this, you know, past week, a number of people have come and reminded me of some things that happened in our church about 3 or 4 years ago. And here, one of the church members came to me one day and asked if he could have a private meeting, and said he had something very important that he'd like to discuss. And I said, sure thing. I do, you know, that's what I do. I'm there often, you know, listening to this part of today, being a pastor. You know, you're a pastor, you're a counselor, you know, you marry people, you bury people, you baptize people. But a big, big, big part of being a pastor is, you know, listening to people's problems and trying to take them to where the actual answers lie, and the answer actual lie right there in the Word of God. I mean, it kind of works this way. Man has a lot of problems and very few answers, and God has all the answers and no problems. And so that's why we try to take them to the Word of God, which covers just about every part of life, okay? And so, but anyhow, in that meeting, this man was telling me how he had, how blessed he had been being in the church for the last few years, how much he'd learned in our church. And from that time, this guy was always more than helpful. He was more than what appeared to be more than a servant's attitude. But there was always just something that wasn't quite right, okay? Do you know how sometimes you feel somebody seems to be trying too hard to please you about some things? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like too hard to gain your trust. There was something that I was, something in that background that I had a...
Not quite right.
Yeah. But anyhow, he told me, he said, but I've learned a lot. You've been a great mentor here and, you know, helped me. But I feel that the Lord is telling me it's time for me to move on again. And, you know, before he'd come to us, he'd been to several other churches. He says, so I just want to tell you that it's nothing personal that I have to leave, but... And I said, well, you know, make sure, first of all, that you're hearing from the Lord, that the Lord's talking to you. And if you come to the conclusion for a fact, then you got to obey God. I mean, that's the one thing that demands from Genesis to Revelation is obedience. And I said, if you absolutely can, you know, feel that way, then you have to do what God tells you. But here... What had happened is, right around the same time he came, a number of other people showed up, several other new people, I would say a half a dozen new people showed up right about the same time, and they were there during that time. And then when he left, he took a number of these people with him. They left with him. And then I started getting phone calls from different church members in the church telling me that this individual and others had called and asked them to, if they would come with them and leave. They wanted to go to a new church that had started, another church that was similar to ours, okay, in beliefs and everything. But it was new, and they were actually calling around and trying to get people to leave our church. Why do you think that would be, people would do such a thing like that? What do you think, Joe? I mean, obviously, the devil, if you're in compliance with the devil, if you're one of those churches that just, you know, are neo-evangelical, don't really do anything, don't do anything to step on the devil's foot, you know, you concentrate on taking cruises or building projects, and I mean, you don't go out, you don't really become a doer of the word. In our church, Joe, you know, in the area, we've led up, over the years, we've saved, been part of saving over 24,000 babies from abortion. We led the area in Ohio for years, going all the way back to the very start. The pro-life, we were one, for a while, the only strictly pro-life radio program on the air. Now we got others, but back in those days, we were it. But our church was the church, especially in the Cleveland area, that was on the streets weekly saving babies. I mean, we were the doers of the word. A lot of those men who and women that were with us in the beginning, going back to the 70s, have gone home to be with the Lord. Many of them have gone home to be with the Lord. But we stood, and Joe, we were the only ones, our church, that stood up. When you had corrupt judicial, corrupt judges that were crooked, when you had corrupt police that were on the take, were taking bribes, we exposed them. We never backed it down. I went into their courtrooms when they were mistreating our people unjustly. We stood up to them. Do you know why we stood up to them? Because we believed God's word, really believed the word of God. And we did stand up to them. And, you know, it cost us, you know, but we did the right thing. And I can honestly say, Joe, and you know you've been with us for a long time, in all of these years, in 50 years, we've never compromised. Not one time did we never stood down. We've never backed down. We stood boldly. The Bible teaches from Genesis to Revelation, that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And we did that. We stood our ground. We didn't back down. Okay? But anyhow, and then in other ways too, that was the only way that the enemy was attacking us. And Lord knows how he attacked us on the radio over the years. I mean things that actually went into the realm of supernatural things that have happened to us over the years. And so why did that happen? Well, it must be because we were stepping on the devil's toes, huh? And at the doers of the word,
stepping on toes, kicking him in the shin, and just the fact that being outspoken. This ministry, you and I both, when we're working, when we work together, no matter what, we've called out cultural Marxism, Fabian socialism, all of the different worldview evils and what's wrong with them and what's behind it. And it's always put the truth, we've always put the truth first. That's the mission, because God, you know, God cannot lie, and we look at his book, can't lie, and what's the most prevalent thing in the world? Lies. The enemy always, always deals in lies. And so we've tried our very best to always present the truth, even on something that's not covered in Scripture. We found it in just researching, looking at what the enemy does versus what they said, and pointing out those lies. So that's what we're supposed to do, right?
Well, that's what we did. And if you remember when we did that, when Rick Warren came out, and with a purpose-driven life, I mean, this was just unbelievable. People were falling for that. We were one of the first people out there to come and expose that. And boy, I had all kinds of people, you know, because this was a popular movement. And boy,
people were upset at us.
Yeah.
They were, because people were going to these Bible studies and, oh, you don't need to bring your Bible. We're going to, you know, work out of Rick Warren's. And it was like, that's the first time I think I heard about it. Somebody invited my wife to go to a study. Oh, there's something new out there. And, oh, you don't need to bring your Bible. And it was like, Harry goes, what? Joe, they want me to go somewhere and said, don't bring your Bible. And I said, I don't know anything about it, but don't go. If they tell you they're going to use anything other than your King James Bible, stay home. And shortly after that, we started looking at what was going on. He had a business model, a plan. Nothing about him was real. It was all fake, phony, and really anti-Christ.
Well, he was. And if you remember, there was one other fellow that was staunch with us that stood with us. In fact, actually, he was probably leading us, and that was Noah Hutchins. Mm-hmm. Noah,
that's right.
Remember?
He helped teach us. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He helped teach us more than we knew.
Yeah, I remember when that happened. He had called me, and he said, what do you know about this, Rick Warren? I says, what I know is I don't like it. And he said, yeah, well, he said, you know, they're doing that in my own church. They're trying to take his own church that he was attending, okay? And what happened, what they would do is they would, Rick Warren would call pastors, invite them down to a big luxurious weekend with all the trimmings and put them up and everything. And then they would tell them, don't tell your congregations where you're going. And then when he was there, one of the things he would tell them that in order to, and this is when the big movement in body count theology came in, where you wanted to get, you know, as many people, it was all about how many people you could get in the door and how many money, much money in the plate. And so he was telling them, telling these pastors, in order to grow the church, you've got to have change. And change can hurt, sometimes can be pain. And he was telling them to, what they had to do is they had to get rid of the founders of the church, the people that started the church, the elders in there. And the way you did that was you had to go back, get the little people, your inner circle, whoever you could trust, have a church meeting, and then vote those out, you know, make it, according to George, to get yourself a lawyer, and then vote those other people out of the church. And they were doing that. They did that to some churches in our area. And so then he said, and you've got to, first of all, get rid of the hymnals. Get rid of those hymnals. You got to get rid of all of that. Use his book. You don't need the Bible. You've got his book, the Purpose Driven Church book. Then,
right. It's like the Book of Mormon. You don't need the Bible. You got the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, well then, but listen, what amazed me was how many pastors were falling for this, Joe. And one day I attended a pastor's meeting, and there were a number of pastors, and these guys were friends of mine. I looked, and they had his Purpose-Driven books there. I said, have you guys lost your mind? I mean, have you read this thing? You know, and of course, the one question that came up right away, if God's not in it, why is it prospering, okay? And my answer to them was, you know, well, if God's not in it, why is Hugh Hefner prospering in Playboy, right? And, yeah. Of course, they didn't have an answer for that. But then, shortly after, more and more stuff started coming up. Because I took his book. And Noah, we took it, remember, and we went through his book live on the air. We showed people, these are not, you know, at first, when I read the book the first time, I said, here's an error. Because a couple came to me, and they came in and they were arguing. And I said, what's going on? And they said, Pastor, we want you to help us here settle this. Because, now, you know, the strange thing usually is, the enemy attacks the women in the area of discernment. But in this case, it was just the opposite, because the couple came in. He was all for this. And she said, Pastor, I can't lay my finger, but there's something about this book. It feels wrong. It's just, and would you please take a look? The very first thing they asked you to do, Joe, is swear an oath. Go into us and swear an oath with find a stranger, and swear an oath between you, that stranger, and Rick Warren. So that's the first thing he asked you to do. Well, what's the Bible tell you about swearing an oath? He tells you in Matthew 5 and also in the 1 John not to swear. You don't swear an oath, okay?
Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, period. Well, you know, when he came out, you got to remember, he called this, it was going to be a church movement, he called it a new reformation. It's going to be one of the greatest paradigm shifts in church government type of thing. And The interesting thing was that I reached over in my library, the dark side of the Purpose-Driven Church by, Noah Hutchings. And I remember you and I doing this. There were five basic fundamentals to the Christian faith, and I remember you and I did this on the radio. And he objected. The first was the inerrancy and full authority of the Bible. He didn't go along with that. The virgin birth and full deity of Jesus Christ. He denied that. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christ's atoning vicarious death for the sins of the world. Nope. And the literal second coming of Jesus Christ. So if you deny the five basic fundamentals of the Christian faith, you're not Christian. Period. End of story, right?
Right.
You deny those, you cannot be a Christian. Now, remember, we did a, George Barna had a survey. He had talked to thousands of pastors, and he found out that it was like 48 or 49% of these thousands of pastors he interviewed didn't believe two or more of the basic of these five basic fundamentals of the Christian church, which tells me then that means that about 49% of the people that call themselves pastors claim to be the head of a church are not even Christian. Because if you don't believe two or more of those five basic tenets, just like Rick Warren, you're not even Christian. I'm sorry, it was kind of an easy, for me, it was an easy answer. And those pastors, what do you mean, Rick Warren? If they had any, I was newer than a lot of these pastors, but, I mean, that was the basic.
Oh, yeah. Hold tight. We'll be
everything. You deny that, you deny the whole faith.
Hold tight. We'll be back right after this.
Read his words. Heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the fire will flash as lightning shines from east to west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Our Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah.
King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's only one King of Kings and one Lord of Lords, folks. Absolutely. And I see here that they had on the news that the Pope, the head of the Catholic Church, and a woman now who's the head of the Church of England, they got a new woman as the head. Do you know what these people don't know? The people don't know that the Church, Joe, only has one head. The Church only has one head, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And
amen, yes.
But, well, they'll find that out someday. Already.
Well, when he built the Church, look at Scripture. Did he build a hierarchy? No. There was no hierarchy there. Didn't happen.
Church government, very simple, huh? Still, and God's immutable. He hasn't changed, has he? This is what we try to tell people. We stay to the Word of God. It hasn't changed. What we teach and what we preach at the Unregistered Baptists is right from the very same thing that Peter, Paul, and the early apostles. We haven't changed anything. We use the very same. And I'm already getting phone calls, or not phone calls, text messages from folks telling me that they're trying to take us down in some stations already. Every time so that means we're stepping on the devil's toes, and we do that a lot on the radio, I guess, nowadays, especially when the gospel, it's always when you're bringing what we're bringing tonight, this kind of message that usually hits them the hardest. But anyhow.
Well, let's start with the basic thing. What is a church, folks? The church, the Bible describes it perfectly. Jesus called us living stones, lively stones, right? That means the living stone. We are the living stones that are built upon the cornerstone. So we build a living church out of the lively stones, the living stones. We build a living church, and we worship a living, risen Lord. That is the definition of a church. That's what it is. It's not all these denominations, congregations. It's what Jesus Christ laid out, set up for an example to follow in his word. Christ is the head. There's a shepherd, an under shepherd. It follows Christ, and he has his flock. And there's no other church government. It's not there. There's some a board of elders or something in the church to help the pastor. But there is no governmental system in God's church. Never has been since day one, and he's not likely to change his mind anytime soon, in my opinion.
Right. You have denominations are not biblical at all, okay? And
no.
Some people will say, well, then wait a minute. Why aren't you a Baptist? Well, first of all, Baptist, is an actual true Baptist, is not a denomination. It's a doctrine.
No.
Baptism, you find that in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, okay? In fact, Joe, the very first church, okay, the very first pastor of the very first church was John the Baptist. John the Baptist had followers, they were his congregation. And in those days, they would always, they didn't know anything about the church. They would refer to they would call them after the name of their pastors, okay? And they referred to some of the church leaders, they referred to as Baptists, the Baptists, or those of that way. In fact, but that's where the actual true Baptists, only, I would say, less than 10% of those today that have Baptist in their name are actually Baptists. They're they're really Protestant. They're really not Baptist at all.
Right, so, exactly. Boy, like you said, Hebrews chapter 6, the first verse.
Fundamental
Therefore,
faith.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms,
yep,
and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit.
Yep, there you go. It's not complicated.
That's a Baptist, right? Following the traditions laid out by John and promoted by Jesus Christ himself, who said he had to go to John to be baptized, didn't he? Remember?
Yep.
He set the example, even he went and was baptized to show us that it was the outward and visible sign of our inward and spiritual grace, of the grace of being born again, made new inside, new spiritual birth. And that's what a Baptist is.
Absolutely. And here, again, we hold to, that's what I preached on last week, holding to the tradition of the apostles, holding to the traditions, and that's what we're doing. And, you know, when we worship today, our sacrifices today are of praise, worship, of tithes, and of service. And here, you know,
well, he said, scripture said our bodies are living sacrifices, so how we choose to live each and every day, if we are working for the Lord, doing good, things that bless him, that praising him, we're doing that just in the way we live and handle each and every day, whether we're mowing a lawn, whether we're helping a neighbor, whatever we do, if we're doing it for the Lord, it's going to be a blessing.
Amen. Do it unto the Lord. And so,
yes.
All righty. Well, I've got to make some... I got to make a couple quick announcements out there. One, I wanted to just say very quickly, you know, every now and then there will be a business or an association or something that gives exceptional service that goes above and beyond. And here, you know, I got to tell you, it's been some strange things happening lately. And I get up this morning, and my wife says, here, she said, have you tasted the water? It's salty. It's very salty. And I had just made a big pot of coffee, you know, with that water, and it was terrible. And then I got into the shower, and all of a sudden, all this black stuff comes out of my shower head. I mean, it's like little bitty beads, like little bitty black beads, like little black miniature black balls come out of the shower head. And so, I ran it, and it got clear, and I got halfway clean. But anyhow, I went and I called Bob, a friend of mine, and he has a plumbing business. He's a plumber, and it's called Papa Doc Plumbing. And I called him, and I told him what happened. Now, a lot of times it takes you a while to get a plumber, if you need a plumber. Going without water, and, you know, lately, with all the things we've had happen to us here recently, too. So, but anyhow, I want to say this. He was over there within a couple hours. He was over at the house, came in, got the problems all taken care of, okay? And, and he was a busy man. He's a very busy man. But he made sure we had water in the house. And so I just want to give him a heads up, folks, and out here in Geauga County, out here where I live in the area. And that's Papa Doc Plumbing, Papa Doc Plumbing Service. And I just want to tell you that his phone number is 440-285-0904. Again, out there in Northeast Ohio, Papa Doc Plumbing, exceptional service, And that number again is 440-285-0904. And I felt right by doing that. What do you think? Okay, we got a number of things we want to cover, things that are happening here. Did you see where the DOJ now wants to add the firing squad back as a method for federal executions? The Department of Justice announced Friday it's moving to strengthen the federal death penalty, including by bringing back firing squads. The DOJ, in a press release, said it is readopting the lethal injection, that it is readopting the lethal injection protocol used during the first Trump administration, expanding the protocol to include additional manners of execution, such as a firing squad, and streamlining internal processes to expedite death penalty cases. The department added that these changes are critical to deterring the most barbaric crimes, delivering justice for victims, and providing long... Okay. The prior administration failed in its duty to protect the American people by refusing to pursue and carry out the ultimate punishment against those most dangerous criminals, including terrorists, child molesters, cop killers, Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche said in a statement on Friday. Okay, so what do you think about that, Joe?
I had a little break in our connection. You kind of lost me. You're talking about the Alan Cole?
No, I was talking about here. The Justice Department is now going to, the DOJ, Department of Justice, is going to be bringing back the firing squad as a part.
Oh, that, yes. I'm sorry, there was a break there where all of a sudden there was nothing, I couldn't hear anything. Yeah, I think that's an awfully good idea because it's a visual. People are visual. If you look at the way they get caught up on YouTube and the different things that happen, the shorts and things like that, the quick messages, for some reason it leaves a very lasting imprint. And I think it makes it very real to people, and I'm all for it. God says there are consequences. If you take a life, your life will be forfeited. If you shed blood, by your blood I can't get it quite right, will be shed.
Yeah, that what you're talking about is the statute of the death penalty given in the note.
Right.
And here, that was verses 5 through 7 in Genesis 9. But I've got I've got very mixed emotions. Let me tell you why. I'm all 110% behind what God's Word, the Bible, has given us for the death penalty. That's statutes. But that statute is given to us in divine human government, which is real government, genuine. Our government is not. It's a perverted version. Remember, the reason that statute was given was because in the 5 points of divine human government, the third point, which was the most important point, Joe, the entire purpose of human government was to preserve the image of God, that being man, and for those that destroyed the image of God, transgressed his dominion, they would have to forfeit their life. Now, and here, the way that was to be carried out was to use God's laws, God's statutes, God's covenants, God's promises, etc. Used strictly by what God has given us. And here, in fact, if you read 119th Psalm, that tells you very clearly. My problem is this, Joe. For 50 years, we're still in the death row ministry. I don't go there, but for 45 years, I visited on a regular basis death row. We ministered to many, many of death row inmates. And in that time, our judicial system was it might be, they say, well, it's the best in the world. It's not perfect. Oh, it's, but it can be very corrupt. Very corrupt. And
it's gotten worse over the years when we were young.
But I saw, we intervened in 7 different men. We got off of death row. It was obvious, very, very obvious in their cases that they were not guilty, that they couldn't be guilty, okay? The last one I was involved with was a man that had no motive. There was no physical evidence that put this man at the scene of the crime. He had no motive for being at the scene of the crime. No evidence, no eyewitnesses, okay? And here, the Ohio Supreme Court said, well, there was no physical evidence to... Now, this is after he'd spent 4 years on death row, okay? So they took him off of death row. Said so because there was no physical evidence that he was there that committed the crime, but he still left him in prison. Okay, they just moved him off of death row and put him in population. We don't have a really good judicial system in this state. Now, then I've seen several other guys. One of them, who we worked with, Mike. We had him on the radio program several times. Same thing. No, the evidence all came out that he never committed a crime. I know several. Well, that we're off. Joe is another one that we got off of death row. There was no evidence. Now, what happens today? Guilt or innocence really doesn't mean that much in our judicial system. It doesn't. It's whoever puts on the first case, the best case, whoever's got the biggest motive to keep somebody in prison, and if that means even on a death row. And that's the way it is.
The most money for the best attorney. You're right. You got a point. Scripture does allow for it, but you're right. That's only if it's a just system. And I have to admit, you're absolutely right. We don't have a just system. So what do? You want to punish the guilty, but you don't want to condemn the innocent. So it's kind of a what I call catch-22, isn't it?
Yeah, well, look at it this way. The very same system there that he's talking about legalizes killing babies. They killed hundreds of millions of babies, destroyed the image of God.
Murder.
So
they were murdered.
Pardon. Right. So that very same system is guilty of killing human beings, and that's why it's illegitimate. The very same system says, well, you can kill an innocent baby if you buy a license from the state to do that, and then they turn around and they want to judge and execute other people for doing exactly what they're doing. So there you go. That's why when it comes to this particular thing, I've really got mixed emotions on that because, it's really, well, not on the death penalty. If we had an actual clean, decent, in other words, where you could get honest, God-fearing prosecutors, where if they actually went by Romans 13, what Romans 13 actually teaches, using God's laws and statutes and ordinances and that, I would be all for it.
Right.
But they don't. They don't. They use man's, and it's unjust.
Right, they're not looking for justice. They're looking for a conviction rate.
Absolutely.
We've seen it too many times. It's not a search for the truth anymore. Somewhere long ago, before you and I got here, I think that was given up, right?
Yep, absolutely. All right, you heard about what happened out there in Virginia where they want to redistrict gerrymandering. And that woman, Virginia Attorney General, General Jay Jones, he's the one, remember, Attorney General wanted to kill his competition, the guy that was running against him and his family? Remember
yeah,
that?
And he still got elected. And instead of being put in jail or charged, I thought, you make a threat like that, I thought there had to be consequences. When I was raised, if you made a threat like against somebody like that, they would come and talk to you, and you could be in all kinds of trouble. Nowadays, they threaten Trump. That one guy was, they need to shed blood in the streets, and we need to, you know, go to war in the streets and run red with blood, and nobody blinks an eye, nobody says anything, does anything. I'm kind of baffled, Pastor.
Well, Hakeem Jeffries just recently came out and said, after dropping the F-bomb, he drops the F-bomb and he says he declares war on all Republicans. He says he's calling for maximum warfare to divide our country. Maximum warfare. The whole point is to divide America and to destroy America.
And when he was called out on it, I remember he was telling people, I don't give a, that word, beaver, you know.
Yeah.
I stand by it, he said, you know. So, I mean, he's doubling down when they try and tell him, what did you say? And he's just doubling down, going for it.
Yep. All righty. I didn't catch that, Josh. What'd you say? Okay, very good. Yeah, let me know. Yeah, I know that. It's amazing. Well, anyhow, here, let me read you this article. Virginia Attorney General Jay Jones soon is going to have to appear in court to defend the state's radical redistricting scheme pushed by Governor Abigail Spanberger. Look, Joe, do you know how you can see things and you can feel things in your spirit? I've seen this before. It's, you know, they say trust your gut is an old, but when I when I get around people that are Satanists, that are actual Satanists, or those that are involved in witchcraft and that, I get that hair rising up on my arm. It's happened before. It's real. It's very real. I can tell. And when I first saw this Spanberg woman, you know, she tried to be very, looked so nice, and I knew right there, I looked and I could just feel it, and you could feel it. That woman was a witch. And anyhow, Abigail Spanberger, Democrat who wanted 49% of the state's population, the Republicans to have only 9% of the state's congressional representation. And so we'll have to pick this up. We're coming up to a break. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to – I saw something I didn't ever think I would see. It was CBS news commentator actually doing a right thing. And when she called out Eric Holder and used his own words against him, we're going to take a listen to that. That's amazing. I didn't think –